Matt Stepp. One could say that we finally made it through the long off-season slog of Tepp and Stepp, and that we have arrived at the Oasis.
Have you given me the keys to the factory to 7-on-7 coverage?
Tepp and Stepp, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tepp Greg Tepper.
And I'm the Stepp, Matt Stepp.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. We love you very much.
We do. We love you so hard.
So this is something we've discussed in private and in confidence.
We're bringing it to the premium podcast.
We are considering a video element to Tepp and Stepp.
Really?
Because I think people, you know, the people have spoken and they've said, hey, I'd like to see more of Matt Stepp.
Oh, who the hell says that?
I would like to see his...
What is Brooke thinking?
Lovely visage. Yeah, I don't know what Brooke is thinking.
Yeah,
either.
Brooke. Brooke, but, what are you doing?
So we got plans. So maybe the video element could be coming soon.
But it will... Your premium subscription to Dave Campbell's Texas Football will still be valuable because the podcast, the entire podcast...
Don't you worry.
...will still be only for you, for your ears only.
I mean, we put clips on out there now and stuff, so don't you worry. Yeah. This is still your sweet, sweet premium podcast.
We're your dirty little secret.
Oh, my God. This is... I mean, there are definitely some people who listen to this podcast who, like, they probably hide it from their wives.
I mean,
we're significant others.
Because you don't look like a nerd. I mean,
exactly right. This is your.
We've been married for too long. We don't care.
No,
our wives
fine.
Know
whatever
we're
they're like.
My wife.
I'm
knows
well
I'm
aware.
A dork.
I put this in the Slack yesterday, or I don't know where I put it, but basically, maybe it was on Twitter.
It's we're in the depths of we're like in the home stretch for magazine time. So your brain is
my
like
brain is
scrambled
barely
eggs.
Working at this point. Yeah. But I will tell you. I got really excited because I found one of our outstanding photographers shot Falfurrias, the fight in jerseys.
Oh,
so we're gonna have a photo of Falfurrias in the magazine.
Yeah.
And I said, hey honey, we have Falfurrias photos. And she just looked at me like, cool.
Yeah, she's like, question mark. So here's a question. This may date me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're not that much younger than me, but you are younger than me. Do you recall being a kid in the commercials with the frying egg? This is your brain on drugs.
Yeah.
They should change that to this is your brain on Dave Campbell's Texas Football Summer Magazine.
It really is. Yeah, right now.
The egg is frying in the pan.
It's hurting badly.
Almost there, though. We're going to deliver. We're less than 2 weeks away from Ice Cream and Scotch Day.
We're recording this on May 14th, Tuesday, May 14th.
11 days.
11 days, it'll be gone. And then I can quit thinking about it because that's all I've done for the last 3 months.
You're going to go to the movies?
I'm going to go get a haircut. And then...
Play the movies by yourself?
I don't know. I got to figure out what I'm going to do.
Then you watch Planet of the Apes?
Go watch the new Godzilla movie.
I heard the new Planet of the Apes wasn't that good. What is it? Ish? I know Ish went and saw it.
Yeah, but Ish loves that kind of stuff.
I know.
But I have not seen the new Godzilla versus Kong, so maybe it'll be Godzilla versus Kong.
Just get some popcorn and extra butter and zone out. And
This is your premium, your May off-season edition of Tepp and Stepp. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, a strangely active coaching change-like moment.
We kind of jinxed it.
Last podcast, we're like, it's over. Whatever.
And
we can wrap this thing up.
This is a quicker turnaround.
Yeah, it's like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I got president business travel next week, and you're doing the magazine, so we had to record a week early.
We'll give you a little bit of 7-on-7 kind of primer, and then...
Already had some qualifiers.
Yeah, that's right, including...
That's right.
The mighty Coppell Cowboys.
And let me tell you.
That's why we need video, because I'm putting up the guns.
Because, let me tell you, early returns on the Cowboys and quarterback Edward Griffin.
Yeah?
They're going to be a contender
Folks.
In College Station. They are going to be
Folks.
A contender.
Let's go.
I got multiple people tell me that Coppell looks... It's just 7-on-7, but Coppell went 12-on-1 last year in real football. This is not just a team that plays 7-on-7, but they looked...
They're
really
a team
good.
That we have pretty high expectations for. So. But then back half of the show, probably the real reason you're here, it's our annual sleepers draft. Stepp and I are going to pick out 4 sleepers each for the 2024 Texas high school football season. I've dug into the data. the data, yeah. And I pulled out some real sleepers.
Got some sleepers, and then this will be a primer for my annual hipster pick article.
Yes,
later on this off season, we'll have the hipster picks, which will be a premium.
That
piece.
Will be yes. So don't tell people what we say on this podcast. But first, Matthew, we will start as we always do with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week, presented by America's number one tubed meat company, Country Meats.
Mm.
Thank you, Country Meats.
Love that tube meat from Country
Meats. Go to countrymeats.com. Use the promo code STEP10 to get 10% off your first order. Make fundraising easy and delicious with Country Meats. Country Meats, they might let you fly in Meat Force One. Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. There are seven all-time UIL Texas high school football 11-man teams that have scored 900 points in a season. Name them. And I will give you a hint.
Is that to say the year, too?
That's really tough. Actually, you know what? I will tell you that there are seven different teams. Seven different programs.
Alito?
All-time best, 1,023 points in 2013.
Yeah.
Probably the greatest offense of all time.
Yeah, God, we're good.
Because that was Jonathan Gray's.
No, I think that was post.
No, that was post Jonathan Gray. The year after him.
That was when they had Ryan Newsome.
One of the Bishop boys.
Yeah, they were.
They were cooking that offensive line too.
Yeah,
just mowed people down.
Refurio's on there, I think.
Refurio, 901 points in 2013.
Okay, same year. Let's see. Is Highland Park on there?
Highland Park is not on there. No. Highland Park, the most points they've ever scored in a season is... They've never scored 732 back in 2017. Strike one.
Is DeSoto on there?
DeSoto is not on there.
No, dang it.
DeSoto, the most they've ever done is 801 this past year.
Okay.
But they also only played 15
games.
Yeah,
that's true. So, yeah, they were a game short.
But they probably weren't scoring 100 points.
You don't think Claude would have scored 100?
No, he almost did in that title game. Strike two.
All right. Lito and Refurio were the easy ones. Did Mart ever do it?
Mart never did it, but they came close. 2018, they scored 895.
Dang it.
Okay. So the other ones you missed. 903 points scored by the 2023 Gunner Tigers.
Okay.
They are new additions.
Yeah.
908 points scored by the Austin Westlake Chaparrals in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
911 points scored by the 2021 Franklin Lions.
Slot T is the devil.
Bryson Washington cooking. Mm-hmm. And 921 points scored by Trendavian Dixon's Navasota Rattlers.
Saw a really cool picture of Trendavian Dixon on Facebook the other day. That one-handed catch against Argyle in the state championship game.
Yes.
That was great.
He's a bad man.
Yeah, he was.
We're gonna one of the podcasts we need to do. Somebody mark this, and we'll do this for next year. We need to do we need to do some. Let's name some guys.
That's our favorite
post.
Players. Yeah,
let's just name some dudes. Because I was thinking the other day about the best 6-man receiver I've ever seen, which was Gary Farquhar, who was the wide receiver at Throckmorton, who has like every wide receiving record in 6-man football. And I'm like, that's a dude. I wonder what he's doing. Next offseason, we'll do a Let's Name Some Guys segment. Remind us of
our favorite players.
Yeah, our favorite players. So there it is, your Texas high school.
We're not going to rank the letters of the alphabet again.
Fun fact of the week.
And March 2025.
People love ranking the alphabet. All right, Matthew, let's talk a little bit about coaching changes. And normally we wouldn't be doing this in May, but like there's a strange flurry that has happened like even just the past like 10 days of ones.
Let's see, San Antonio's been a real hot spot.
The place I'll start is in that kind of greater San Antonio area in Beeville Jones, where Chris Sosa has retired after a 39-year coaching career. His last win was the win over Cal Allen in that bi-district round, which I know was such a huge win for that program. Good dude. Wish him the very best. One would have to imagine it would be shocking if this was not an internal hire, right?
Be very surprised.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting that his son, literally just a couple of days earlier, was named the head coach at Rockport Fulton.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, this is Matt Stepp speculation here, but did Eric kind of get word that if his dad retired, he wasn't going to get the Beeville job? Or did Eric decide, now that Eric's got a head coaching job of his own, now I can step back and retire. But as long as I'm here, Eric's got a spot as the OC. Once he got the Rockport job, he kind of knew, okay, I can go ahead and step down. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. My guess is probably just talking to folks down in South Texas, most people do think it's going to be an internal hire. So, mm-hmm. you know, the OC is gone, so it's probably the DC. But that's just my speculation. But there's still, like, one thing that tells me they're probably going to stay internal is they are still the 7-on-7 tournaments that they've registered for, they're still going to play in them.
Mm.
Which tells me that there's going to be some continuity there. They're not going to make a lot of changes, which means it's probably going to be an internal hire. So that's just my guess.
Moving out of San Antonio, Snyder has made a hire. They've gone out of state to hire Lovington, New Mexico coach Anthony Gonzalez, who's taking over for Westwood. Westwood went to Merkel. This is, you know, pending board approval, which I think
he's approved.
He's
going
to get it. Okay.
At the time of the article, he was not yet.
He is a Texas guy. He's just been in New Mexico.
Yeah, he's from Bernie. He's actually a coach with Bob Wager. He's kind of with Wager. Mm. He was with Wager at Kauffman, went to Martin with Wager, then kind of branched out on his own, went to Dunbar as their defensive coordinator for a few years before getting the job at Lovington, New Mexico, which is a brand name in New Mexico mm-hmm. football. And Brian Urlacher's from there. That's a you know, Lovington and Artesia are two kind of the brand names in New Mexico football. Anthony Gonzalez won 2 state championships at Lovington. So this is a guy with some chops. He's excited to get back to Texas. I had a great conversation with him. A lot of energy. Might be a good guy to have as a guest on TFT.
Well, maybe we might just say that. He was a New Mexico Coach of the Year in 2023. So Snyder bringing home a New Mexico state champion in Anthony Gonzalez. Let's go to Orange Grove, where this is another kind of ripple effect in the San Antonio area. Orange Grove has been open. We've been waiting to see what move they would make. They have made, I would say, at least for this late in the game, for it being in May, this would be classified as a splashy hire. They've gone and hired Jared Johnston, the head coach at Schertz Clemens, to be their next head coach. Now, he is an OG of OG.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Mm-hmm. No, hold your plus, please. This is a homecoming for him. Mama called, and yep. He's going back to Orange Grove, which pretty good at Schertz Clemens, too.
It did a good job. Mm-hmm. Took Clemens to a regional final one mm-hmm. year. And this is not the first time I think that Orange Grove has pursued him. I think several jobs. When Orange Grove has come open, pretty much in the past 8 years or so, the first call they've made has been to Jared Johnston to see if he'll come home. And I think finally they made it worth his while. And I think maybe in his personal life, things lined up to where it made a lot of sense for him to come home. Because, you know, going from a 6A to a 3A, but he's going to be the athletic director at Orange Grove, and he's from there, you know. So it's, you know, we've seen it time and time again. When your alma mater calls, it's hard to say no, because a lot of guys, it's their dream to coach at their alma mater. So it's a great get for Orange Grove. Really interested to see what the AD there at Schertz Cibolo Universal City ISD, Scott Lenhoff, former Steel head coach, what direction he goes for that job at Clemens this late in the game.
I think that's going to be really interesting to see where Clemens goes. That's a good job.
It's a good job. I think this one may go against the grain. I think there's a decent chance this goes outside.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on that. Schertz Clemens is now open as well. Let's go to a story you broke on TexasFootball.com back last week.
Thank you for knowing that.
At Cy Fair ISD, they have been looking for a head coach at Cy Ranch. We track this on Texas Football or on Texas Football Today. Let's go through it. Marcus Shavers leaves McKinney. Mm-hmm. Nate Leonard leaves New Braunfels Canyon to go be the next head coach at
mm-hmm.
McKinney.
Mm-hmm.
Goes home. That's a mama call situation.
Sure.
Sean McAuliffe, who has deep ties to to kind of the greater San Antonio mm-hmm. area, leaves Cy Ranch to go be the next head coach at New Braunfels Canyon.
Yes.
That leaves the opening at Cy Ranch, where they have gone to the South Plains to mm-hmm. hire Will Blaylock, the head coach at Lubbock Estacado.
You want
to
hear something funny?
Hmm.
Guess where Marcus Shavers coached before McKinney?
I didn't even connect that.
Coach at Lubbock Estacado. It all comes back to Lubbock Estacado.
All roads lead to Estacado.
Yeah, all roads lead to the east side.
It is, but Will Blaylock, again, a very splashy hire here late in the game. Mm-hmm. But you know, I will say this about Cy Fair. They'll swing. they will swing for coaches because I think that they understand that they have jobs that are attractive to coaches.
I think Cy Ranch is considered one of the better jobs in Cy Fair ISD. The mix of kids, the pedigree they've had, you know, Blaylock did a great job at Estacado. They went 10-3 last year and are dropping. I mean, Estacado, for jobs that are open right now, there might not be a better one than Estacado at the moment. You know, they're 10-3 and they're dropping down to 4A Division II. Now, got to find a quarterback because the quarterback that was going to be at Estacado is now going to be at Cy Ranch because Blaylock's son, Deuce Blaylock, who's going to be a sophomore, was slated to be the Estacado quarterback this year. He's now going to Cy Ranch with his dad. Now, he may not be quarterback at Cy Ranch this year because Cy Ranch brings back a pretty good senior quarterback. So, but I think it's a great hire for Cy Fair ISD. Blaylock's done a good job at Estacado, and I think now there's a negative here, and it's that Cy Ranch. I think for as good as Cy Fair a job as Cy Fair does, they mismanaged the spring football situation at Cy Ranch this year. And I don't know whose decision that was. I can't imagine it was anybody in athletics' decision. So basically what happened was is when McAuliffe left, most schools do not participate in spring football during a coaching transition. Because even if you get the guy hired before spring practice starts, he's not going to have any of his coaches there. So what's really the point? You're better served by letting him get his staff together, taking the extra week in the fall and the extra scrimmage. Cy Ranch decided to go ahead and go forward with spring football under the interim head coach, who was the offensive coordinator. Well, 2 days into spring football, Blaylock gets announced as the head coach. Well, once you've started spring ball, you can't go back. You've already started. So now you have basically a lame duck coaching staff coaching spring football.
Yeah.
And how – those guys are human. A lot of these guys are going to be looking for other jobs. How into it are they going to be? So I think they've done their kids a disservice, and they've done Blaylock a disservice by having spring football, because now Blaylock's going to start – he's going to have one less week with his full coaching staff in a scrimmage. He's going to be starting behind the eight ball a little bit.
He's going to have to kind of like –
I think that got mismanaged a little bit.
He's kind of going to have to like uninstall – schemes, you know what I mean?
Or be very vanilla and bland and use a lot of the stuff that they already have and kind of slowly implement what he wants to do schematic-wise, because they're not going to have time to implement it all. Right. Almost like you have to spoon-feed it, and they're going to be basically working from behind a good portion of the year.
Last one for me, and then I want to see if you've got any others you want to touch on. Let's talk a little bit about a guy who is another OG in a place that we quite frankly, we just don't talk a ton about, and that is that Tom Gonzalez has retired at Eagle Pass. You want to talk about a dude.
He's an institution now.
Institution. Yeah. 18 seasons there, and pretty good ones. 13 playoff appearances, 3 district titles.
Just the last 5 or 6 years, Eagle Pass has been kind of the team to beat down there in that Brush Country Laredo district. They've been consistently the best team in that district year in and year out. He did a great job at Eagle Pass. I think it was a year or two ago, they really gave somebody a good run in the playoffs. So they've done a good job. I think they've had a couple of area – I don't think they ever broke through and got to the third round, but – several area round appearances, and I think at least 1 year they gave somebody from San Antonio a pretty good run.
It was last year they took Harlan 27-20 in the first round.
Yeah, that was a Harlan team that went 12-1.
They took them to the mat.
Lost a steal in the third round.
They gave in 2020. This is, you know, they beat San Antonio Marshall in overtime in 2021, 51-50 or 54-51. Yeah, I mean he put together a really nice kind of career there after 18 years, 111-81 in his time there at Eagle Pass. You know, that's part of the state that doesn't contend for state championships.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as establishing yourself as one of the dominant powers in your region, I mean, he did that plain and simple over the course of 18 years. So we certainly wish him the very best in retirement. Which ones did I miss? Did I miss any coaching changes? It is slowing down, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Lubbock Estacado opening is a good job. Daniel Price leaves early to go to be the offensive coordinator at Palestine, opening up a really good job there in the big country. Perryton just made a hire. You know, they really had an unfortunate situation there at Perryton with Cole Underwood, who was arrested for on the suspicion of sexual assault of a minor, if I think that's the correct official charge. I think Perryton made a really good hire hiring Dumas defensive coordinator Josh Hernandez, a well thought of guy there in the Panhandle, you know, taking over at a tough situation there at Perryton with what's been going on, but I think he'll do good things there. And then, yeah, I think those are the big ones that kind of jump off the page. Bertelsen hires Philip Tanner from Fort Worth Southwest, former Dallas Cowboys, stepping into a really tough situation there at Bertelsen with just the district that they got put into.
And then just kind of like the overall vibe around that program right now is just not good. I mean, I'm wishing Coach Tanner the best, but like right now we can speak honestly about it that's, you know, the way that Chad Worrell left and
the season they had last year. San Antonio Roosevelt also, speaking of San Antonio, another job, Matt Carroll leaves Roosevelt to go be the AD there at Killeen ISD. So another San Antonio, you know, Brandeis, Roosevelt, and Schertz Clemens. It's three pretty decent 6A jobs all open in mid-May in San Antonio.
As of right now, according to TexasFootball.com, there are 27 open jobs. Eagle Pass, Maid Creek, Pasadena Adobe, Brandeis, Roosevelt, Clemens, Carrollton Creekview, Houston Sharpstown, Houston Spring Woods, La Jolla Juarez Lincoln, Seagaville, Beeville Jones, Fort Worth Southwest with Philip Tanner leaving, Houston Scarborough, Godley with Curtis Lowry stepping down.
Yeah, you know, Godley's going to be the head coach at Throckmorton.
Is that right? He's going to six-man?
Throckmorton, yeah.
Interesting. I need to put that in the magazine.
By the way, also, if you haven't seen the pictures of Godley's new stadium, holy cow.
Estacado, Perryton is open. Denver, or Perryton is closed. Perryton's
I need to update that.
Denver City, Mathis, and then Early, Tulia, Olney, Brackettville, Colmsneil, El Dorado, McDade, and Quanah. One other thing.
Tulia's hiring Thursday, by the way.
This flew under the radar.
Metroplex offensive coordinator.
So much so that I might be breaking some news here from legitimately 6 months ago.
Okay. Oh, I know. Six-man news, right? Yeah.
Balmoray head coach Vance Jones, probably the greatest six-man football coach of all time. All due respect to some of the other folks out there. In my opinion, he has titles at three different schools. Four different schools, I think. Retired after the season, apparently. This is something that we found out, and I'll tell you how I found this out. I've been trying to track down a questionnaire. And so what happened is that normally Coach Jones would just mail us a questionnaire.
Old school.
Old school dude. Yeah. Old school dude.
Snail mail.
He would mail us a questionnaire, and it hadn't arrived. It got to be about like April 15th, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's odd. But I kind of kept kicking it around because, like, I know he's good for it. He's not a coach I worry about hearing from. I can call him and get it in a minute. And so then, and his email's not bouncing back. He probably doesn't email. He doesn't email all that much.
By the way, schools, I need your emails are not bouncing anymore.
Yeah.
I need your emails to bounce. Yes. That lets us know that we got something's up.
Yes.
So help us out and help have those emails out. Bounce.
And so then
it's about us here.
And so then it's like he's not replying, and I call his cell phone. He doesn't answer, and I'm going.
He's like, I'm not answering that call for
exactly. Right. I'm retired, dude. I am friends with his daughter, okay. Annika, and so I just got on Facebook. This is true. I reached out to Annika on Facebook, and I go, hey, I'm trying to reach your dad. Like, did he change his number? And she goes, he retired in December. And I go, wait, what?
He sent you straight to voicemail. He and declined your call.
And there are no, like, nobody wrote a story about this. Like, not even us, obviously. But
you would,
like,
think the Midland newspaper, right? Or Odessa.
But, I mean, Balmoray is way out there in the middle of nowhere is the problem. So, anyway, we wish Vance Jones, who is an all-time great
yes.
dude.
What a nice man, too. What a sweet
all-time
man.
Great dude and a great football coach.
You should go to Balmoray State Park just to celebrate his career.
I may do that.
When's the last he been out there?
When I wrote the story about Marathon, which is he was a key part of it back in 2017.
So. The kids would enjoy the pool, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
You should take the kids out. Hey, we're gonna go to Balmoray to swim, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You can sell that to Mrs. Tepper.
I think she likes Far West Texas, so I could sell it to her. She's
been Airbnb she's been in the pool. At Big Bend. Let me tell you,
she's been in the pool. That is some coaching change news from across the state of Texas. Okay, let's talk a little bit about 7-on-7. You've been at some 7-on-7 state qualifying.
Yeah, I was in Kilgore last week.
You were out there in Kilgore, chatting up some East Texas bullies.
Yeah, thank you for running my interview with Ty Taylor.
We've
talked to Clint Fuller and Chris Cochran.
As a first year coach, I'm very interested.
Let me tell you, this is just based on the eyeball test. Jefferson looks the part, and they're missing four starters.
They always got dudes.
They got dudes.
They got dudes.
I was like, they're missing four starters, and rear. As I'm pulling into St. John Memorial Stadium in Kilgore at like 7:30 in the morning, I get a text from Jeff Reardon, who they play Jefferson first game.
Head coach of Chapel Hill.
He goes, Jefferson's got best looking kids here. I said, really?
There are 4A teams there, and you know,
yeah, and Jefferson, little 3A Jefferson, and I walked out there and I said, you ain't wrong, coach.
Got some good dudes.
Got some dudes. Keep an eye on Jefferson. It was a good tournament. Kilgore looks really good. Chapel Hill looked good. So it was good. Chapel Hill lost to Kilgore in the championship game, 20-13. So Kilgore, first ever trip to College Station.
How about that?
Yeah. For 7-on-7.
The teams that have qualified for 7-on-7, if you are interested, in Division II, Kilgore, you mentioned it, Hampshire Finette.
A regular.
They are one of the things to, and just kind of as a primer, because everyone podcasts somebody's first. 7-on-7 is a good snapshot of teams, and it's an opportunity for us to get eyes on teams. And I will now forever use 2023 Anna as my bar. Because that should have, we had big questions about Anna heading into the season, right? Heading into the season,
primarily about quarterback.
Quarterback, and they were losing, they had a running back who went to Boise State, Breezy Dubar, and we were like, okay, well, how are they going to be? And we saw him at 7-on-7, and that was the first time we got to see Zyondre Williams. And we had heard, like, hey, they've got a quarterback, don't worry about them. And then you see him in person, and it's like, oh, we should pay attention. That is forever going to be the example that I use of, like, that's the value of 7-on-7.
Yeah.
Is getting eyes on especially new guys that you haven't seen before and where they have quarterback questions and in my opinion, secondary questions.
We remember in 2021, we had heard all we'd heard about Jackson Arnold, Arnold. And we still remember Jackson Arnold as a scared freshman against Austin Westlake in the state championship game.
Freshman who's peeing his pants against one of the greatest defenses we've ever seen.
And that image changed real quick when we saw Jackson Arnold out there throwing dimes to everyone. So just, you know, there's always a team or a kid that we see at state 7-on-7 that we put on our radar.
And
so
there's also,
it's valuable. It's valuable info for
it
us.
It is. Oh, absolutely. And there's also the other thing to keep in mind is that not everybody plays 7-on-7.
No.
And not everybody plays 7-on-7 in this world. There are teams that go out there and they will play like local tournaments and they're just like, we're not interested in going to state.
A little Tuesday night league. You know.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Tuesday night league, just go out there and get reps. They're at it for South Oak Cliff's a good example.
Correct.
South Oak Cliff does not try to go to state. They go out there and they play local teams pretty much and just kind of get out there and do some reps and then they go home.
Funny story about them. Talked to Kyle. They actually played a qualifier this year at Melissa, and I talked to Kyle Ward, the defensive coordinator, because Jason Todd was at his son's basketball game, and I said he was kind of like, you know, really don't want to go to state. And I said, what will happen if y'all qualify? Oh, we'll go to state. Oh, we'll go. He goes, we're too competitive. We'll go.
Yeah, I was going to say, the kids, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
the kids would make them.
Yeah, he goes, we'll go.
The kids will go out there and pass the hat if they need to. Also, Bay City went to a
Bay
qualify.
City, their scores, and they beat Hitchcock to qualify. And Hitchcock's two-time defending state champ. And we know what Hitchcock can do in 7-on-7. And watch out for Bay City in College Station.
Plenty of other qualifying tournaments. Just because Hitchcock is not qualified yet does not mean they're not
going to expect Hitchcock to qualify this week in Needville.
Yes.
Don't be surprised.
Division I qualifiers. Midlothian Heritage has qualified. Flower Mound Marcus, I think, that's very very compelling.
Young quarterback to watch at Flower Mound Marcus is the young, I don't know his first name, Nussmeyer. Garrett's little brother. Man. Sophomore, he is.
This feels knowable.
He is really good. I texted Mike Roach and Greg Powers and Hudson Standish about him April 20th when I watched him.
Colton Nussmeyer.
Yeah, watch out for him.
6'3", 190.
Sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
He can spin it.
Anna is qualified. Not surprising.
Nope.
Another team that we expect to see there. Rockwall, again, not surprising.
But you know what? It's actually Rockwall's first time at state in a long time.
Is it really?
Yeah, they have not qualified for state in quite a while.
Which is crazy because like they always have quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They always have receivers.
Yeah.
And they're usually pretty decent in the secondary too. Like they have all the pieces. You know, like when Rockwall tends to get beat, they get kind of bullied up front. So it's like it's interesting.
I'm trying to think. Last time I noted this when I was updating the website there. First time at state since 2019. So it's been 5 years.
5 years, pre-pandemic. North Crowley, not surprising.
No,
not surprising dudes all over the place. And finally, qualifying. out of Northwest Dallas County, your Coppell Cowboys. And I will say this. Mallory Hartley and Carter Yates were out at the Arlington State Qualifier.
They were impressed too, weren't they?
Where they qualified. And to be clear, they have every reason to talk crap about Coppell in front of me. Especially, like, they are incentivized to do that.
Yes, especially since Coppell eliminated the Arlington Colts at State 7-on-7 last year, which I'm sure that was a fun day for you.
And both of them were like, Coppell's got the juice.
Yeah.
Got the juice.
Just saying, if you want to, place a friendly wager with a friend and put Coppell on your wager list, you might want to do that. I'm just saying. A little lunch bet or something, a little barbecue bet or something.
Just say this. Look for the rankings when they come out in the 2021 Summer Edition of Dave Campbell's Texas Football.
Are we ready? Before we move on to our sleeper picks, are we in a position to talk about our coverage plans for State 7-on-7 yet, or we can just sit on that? Or even possibly before State 7-on-7?
We do have coverage plans.
Okay. You can confirm that.
I can confirm that. I don't know how much specifically Pickle wants me to say, because Pickle is strong.
What about pre-tournament?
Pre-tournament, we will have a State 7-on-7.
Okay, we are ready to release this?
Preview podcast of
Tepa. Oh, podcast.
Stuff.
Okay.
We'll have that.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, I suppose we can do this, because I think this is... I haven't talked about it with Pickle in a minute. We have something in the works.
Yes.
To exclusively reveal the pools for the State 7-on-7 tournament on a live special Sunday edition of Texas Football Today.
I'll be fresh from the Rio Grande Valley.
You'll be like a tick.
Of Costa Mesa.
A full botana. You're going to bring a full botana platter with you.
Yeah,
I'm
going to bring
you
a botana, yeah.
It'd be great.
Think of it as almost like March Madness. You know how the March Madness has the bracket release? We're looking to maybe do something like that for the 7-on-7 pools. Maybe with some special guests.
Maybe some
friends will show up.
Maybe. To reveal some
Mike Roach, Hudson Standish.
Maybe some friends.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It should be fun.
Stay tuned for that.
Don't text me and ask me when pools are going to come out.
We're going to release them on Sunday. Yes.
June 23rd.
Yes. We will release them on a live special edition of Texas Football Today.
A free live broadcast.
For free.
Yes.
All right, Matthew. It is now time for what everybody came for, and that is the Tep and Step sleeper draft. Here's how it works. These are teams. First of all, we need to define a sleeper. A sleeper is, there are teams that do not qualify as sleepers. For example, DeSoto. If you say that DeSoto is your sleeper, I'm going to kick you off the podcast. We're going to rename the podcast to Tep and Blank. Yeah. Okay? DeSoto's
Pickle,
not a sleeper.
Pickle finally gets her shot.
We are going to say that this is reserved for teams that won 8 or fewer games last year and you think will be noticeably significantly better. Maybe not even in the win column, but as far as like the danger is concerned. And the bar we kind of keep coming back to is like a chance to play on Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Now, there are certain teams that, because of their draw, they could be a lot better. And so I don't want to make that a hard and fast rule.
Sure.
But it's more of a vibes type thing of saying, this is, I think we know what a sleeper is. This is a team you're not thinking of that you need to be thinking of.
Sure.
So we're going to go back and forth. We're going to have 4 rounds back and forth of teams or teams that you are picking as your sleepers. And why don't we'll just put a little friendly wager on this.
Okay.
So we're each going to pick 4 teams. The most number of wins increased.
Oh, increased. Okay.
Do you want to do win increase or total wins? You think through your sleepers? We can do total wins. We'll do total wins.
One of my sleepers won 6 last year.
The most number of total wins.
Okay.
From our 4 sleepers, we'll come up with some sort of stupid prize.
Well, what we have last year at coaching school, I had to wear a Coppell shirt at coaching school.
Yeah. We'll come up with something like that. We'll do something like that. So we'll come up with it. We'll come up with that, but we'll track these. So you can have the first pick in the 2024 sleeper draft. Who is your Texas high school football sleeper?
I'm going to go with a class 6A program in San Antonio, the Medina Valley Panthers, and their head coach, Andrew Britt.
They made some waves in realignment, I'll say that.
They did. They moved up from 5A Division 1 to 6A. They went 5-6 last year. 7-3 JV, so JV looking good coming up. 16 starters back, 7 on offense, 9 on defense, 31 lettermen, And I think the biggest thing for me is their draw and realignment. They go south into Laredo, Del Rio, Eagle Pass area. It's a lot better draw for them to compete early on in 6A versus having to go into San Antonio and be in a district with Northside or Northeast. Mm-hmm. I think Medina Valley is going to adapt and adjust really well to Class 6A. They got a good quarterback back in Michael Newton, who played really well as a junior after missing his entire sophomore year. I think Medina Valley primed for a step forward and could be a district title contender in 2024.
I think that's one of those teams that I think everybody's going to look at the move up to 6A and say, oh, well, of course they're not going to be as good. And that, I think if you look at the context surrounding it, I think that they had about as soft a landing as you can get. And with the playmakers they've got back, I think they can be really good. All right. This one is not going to be much of a surprise to people who pay attention to Texas football today. Buddy, I am all in on Frankston, the Indians. We had Paul Gold on the show on Monday.
I looked him up afterwards and was like, yep, buddy, I can see it.
So they went 7-4 last year in a very tough district, and they got drilled in the core of the earth by Cooper in the first round.
Cooper did
that a lot, people. They bring back 15 starters, and more importantly, the kind of starters they bring back, okay? Playmakers on both sides of the ball. They're going to be really good running game, and then front seven, they're going to be really, really good. And furthermore, I think if you want to talk about a under-the-radar realignment winner, Frankston, they swing from Region 3, so they won't have to deal with Timpson or Garrison or Cooper or Honeygrove, right? Or Beckville or Wascom. Over to Region 2, we'll talk about their district for a moment. Corsicana, Mildred, it's Kearns. It's a weird kind of mishmash district. District 8.
Kind of that real fringe East Texas bordering on Central Texas district. I think the move to Region 2 is huge for them.
So big.
Region 2 and 2A Division 1, wide open. I can see a scenario right now where Frankston's playing in a state semifinal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If things break right
and they would not shock me at all.
Yeah, if they find like a little bit of depth, they're right in it because it's like Tioga, Axtell, Coleman,
Itley,
yeah. Like Wolf City. It's like there's not a world beater. There's no like
that region's for the taking.
Region 3, you're going to have to go through Timpson or Garrison or Honeygrove, right? Mm-hmm. A team like that or maybe Cooper. Maybe Beckville Reloads. There's not that team. No. Like right now, the winner of Region 2 is probably the fifth best team in Region 3. Fourth best team?
Maybe, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fifth,
that's
the
thing. Mm-hmm. So I think for Frankston to move over to that side of the bracket, I think is really, really big. And I think for Paul Gold, I think that Frankston is a team that I am all in on in 2024.
Okay.
All right, that's my first pick. What's your second pick?
Second pick. And this is part coach. I got a crush on this coach, but also I think they're going to step in, and he's going to step in his first year and do a great job along with their realignment draw. That's West Mesquite.
Mm-hmm.
First year head coach, Steven Jackson. I'm a big Steven Jackson guy. He did a heck of a job at Segaville. He's coming into a situation at West Mesquite where the Wranglers went with a major youth movement last year. They played a freshman running back all year who had 800 yards rushing. They had a sophomore running back this year, is really talented. Jackson's going to come in. He's got a new energy. He's proven he can get it done at a place like Segaville. A lot more resources to work with at West Mesquite. 16 starters back, 9 on offense, 7 on the defensive side of the ball. Brand new coaching staff. He's brought in some guys from Duncanville. His new defensive coordinator, Bobby Watkins, is from Louisville. A lot of buzz around this program. Their realignment draw is really, really favorable. Mm-hmm. They go from playing Longview, Highland Park, Tyler, Forney, McKinney North, where I think they're going to step right into this new district, and it's between them and Newman Smith for the district championship.
Mm-hmm.
And they play Week 10, Newman Smith and West Mesquite. Mark that down. That game is probably going to be for the district championship, and I might be there.
Oh, how about that? The thing about West Mesquite, here's what I like about them, because I agree with you. Young playmakers, right? Richard Clark, the receiver. Damarian Robinson was that guy who started as a freshman all year.
Mm-hmm.
Senior quarterback, Demetrius Ballard. I like that. I like the idea of just like you got all these youth, like these dudes who could just fly and you know, and then they've got the senior leader there in Demetrius Ballard. I like that. I think that's a good pick. I am going to go to 5A, to the Panhandle. Matt Stepp, The 6-6 Amarillo Sandies are about to make some noise.
Okay.
From last year. I am high on what they've got coming back this year. They bring back 12 starters from last year's ball club. They've got some, and I think that people are going to look at some of the playmakers that they lose. Like, they're going to need to find a new quarterback, a new running back. But they have a junior quarterback that named Jet Lopez that folks are really high on out there in the panhandle. A couple receivers like Oliver Parsons out wide. Their offensive line, I think, is going to be very strong. And furthermore, I also think, my opinion, when you take a look at what's in their district with Abilene and Tascosa and Monterey, I think it's going to, I think especially Abilene, Abilene was a really good team last year.
Yeah. The regional, meant the regional final? Or the
regionals.
They were fourth round, weren't they?
Yeah, fourth round. But I think that district is going to fall back to Amarillo and come back to the pack. And it would not be a surprise if Amarillo up and won that district. Abilene's got some questions on the defensive side.
Yes, they lost a lot on defense.
And
a quarterback. They're going to replace a quarterback.
Tascosa brings back a lot from a 5-17. I think Amarillo is the kind of team that can up and get some teams, especially if this quarterback, Jet Lopez, develops. So I like Amarillo as my pick here. So that's my second pick. What is your third pick in the sleeper draft?
My third pick, I'm going to go with the Athens Hornets out of East Texas.
It's like we do this every year.
I'm a big Athens guy, and I'm even bigger on them this year. Now they went 6-5 last year in maybe the toughest 4A division, one of the toughest 4A Division I districts out there, with Chapel Hill, Lindale, Kilgore. Really good district, right? Athens now drops down to 4A Division II. Now, they got some guys to replace. They lose. They only got four starters back on both sides of the ball. But I think the move down to Division II with big numbers in the program is going to really benefit Zach Harrell and his ball club. I think Athens, they're not going to beat Carthage in that district, obviously. Carthage is a huge favorite. But I think Athens could easily finish second place in that district and get a really nice playoff seed, a two seed, and have a chance to hang around in the playoffs for a little while. So keep an eye on Zach Harrell and the Athens Hornets.
I think that's a good pick. They are. You're right. Again, we have to establish the ceiling here. I don't think anybody's thinking that they're going to go through and win the state championship. But this is a team that I think could be significantly improved. And you're right. The thing about Athens, they're always going to have a couple dudes.
Oh, yeah.
And some speed out there, and that can cause some people some trouble. So keep an eye. That's a good pick for your third pick. I went back and forth on this one. And there's two teams, each of which, like, their realignment fate was kind of tied to one another. And I think you're within your rights to take either of them. But I will go with a team that went 3-7 last year.
Okay.
This is deep sleeper. Buddy, the Fort Worth Paschal Panthers might win their district.
That's another team. Much like West Mesquite, they were high-fiving at UIL realignment.
Oh, yeah. So they were, if you remember.
Is that funny? Like, they can't celebrate too much to upset their district opponents, but they're thinking.
They were in District 3-6A last year. 3-6A. So they were getting fed to teams like, was that UIL Trinity in 3-6A? It was 3-6A last year.
Yeah, Trinity, North Crowley.
Yeah, North Crowley. Yeah, they were getting fed to teams like
Crowley.
That. Yes. Bad time. They were not having a great time. Okay, they drop down to 5A Division I, and they drop into District 4, a Fort Worth ISD district, where the favorite to win that district is probably Arlington Heights. But, like,
yeah. I think Rickland Holmes at Chisholm Trail is probably.
Chisholm Trail is the other team I was interested in maybe taking. They went 1-9 last year. But Paschal brings back 14 starters from last year. They had a sophomore quarterback last year in Jayshon Thomas, who's coming back, that a dual threat guy who is the newcomer of the year in District 3-6A. The newcomer of the year in 3-6A.
With North Crowley, Trinity.
Correct.
Crowley.
With all those dudes dropping down to 5A. Playmakers like Luke Tevis at wide, Jace Burton leading the secondary. This is. They also have a linebacker named Tex Shope, and I just want him to be very good. I think for Coach John Kelo, this was a real win of an offseason here. And if they develop, that district is there for the taking. Like, I do not like Arlington Heights has got some questions. Arlington Heights is going to have to replace, like, they're going to be young out wide and young at skill spots. If Paschal can come in, boy, when's the last time Paschal won a district title?
have to check the record books.
I will see if I can find the last time Fort Worth Paschal won the district title, because it could happen. I am high on Fort Worth Paschal this year.
The mighty Panthers.
All right. What is your final?
Greg Tepper, do you remember not that long ago?
1964.
Okay, 64.
Their last outright district title.
Okay.
60 years.
There you go. That'd be something.
It could happen. It could happen.
Did they get team of the week that week? I think they'd be team of the week.
I think we will make them team of the week.
Okay, all right.
You have my word, Paschal. Today. All right. What's your fourth and final pick?
You know, remember not that long ago when St. Augustine was a freaking wagon?
They were the wagon.
2018, 2019?
They were unstoppable in Region 3. It was like, wake me up in the semifinals.
Yeah. Do you realize in 2021 and 2022, St. Augustine won a combined one game?
I did know that. I remember thinking, like, wow, what a fall. Like,
but the worm has turned.
Mm-hmm.
Torrey Barnes has a team. They showed signs last year. They went 4-6 last year and played a lot of close games. They lost to Shelbyville by 6, had a couple other close losses that kind of kept them out of the playoffs last year. But you could see the tide turning.
Mm-hmm.
I am ready to proclaim St. Augustine a team to watch in 2024. Torrey Barnes welcomes back 9 starters on both sides of the ball, 25 lettermen, which is a huge number for a Class 2A Division 1 school.
That means they probably lost like 4.
3.
3.
They lost 3 seniors from last year's team. This is a team loaded with experience. Mm-hmm. Tough district. I mean, that they're in a tough neighborhood in 2A Division 1. I mean, there's no question about it. You got Timpson, Garrison, Joaquin, Shelbyville in that district. I think St. Augustine is ready to make a move into the upper echelon of District 11, 2A Division 1, and be a team to be contended with.
You're back on St. Augustine. They were a wagon.
Yeah, they were great.
They were about three, 4 years.
They were
just destroying everyone.
Yeah, I think they gave Refugio a couple of really good games in the semifinals. Just couldn't get over the hump. And St. Augustine is going to be back in the mix this year.
When we talked that long run for when Region 3 couldn't beat Region 4, like a lot of that was St. Augustine. A lot of that was St. Augustine.
They lost 2 or 3 years in a row, yeah.
Just couldn't get over Refugio or Mason or Shiner or one of those teams. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. My fourth and final pick in the sleeper draft. Let's go 3A. 3A Division 1.
Hello, 3A.
Duval County. Do you know where I'm going?
That is in South Texas, I believe.
In South Texas. The county seat of Duval County is home of the San Diego Vaqueros.
Ah, yes.
The San Diego Vaqueros.
Coach Ochoa.
Now, this is I got to clarify this. This is a sleeper, but they went 8-2 last year. They won a district last year. They won their district. Mm-hmm. They were good last year. Like
They've been consistently good.
This is the best team from 2023 that I'm taking here. But they have been consistently good. You know, they've won 8-plus games, you know, aside from they won 10 in 2021. They've won, you know, 26 games the last 3 years, which is pretty good. The reason I'm high on San Diego this year is twofold. One of them is that I think they've got the pieces in the trenches that can hold up. They're going to be good running the ball. They got a sophomore running back from Nick Lara they're really high on, and a big offensive line that should be able to push and get some stuff done. The other thing is that I think if they can win their district, now that's key, if they can win their district, the path in 3A Division 1 Region 4 to Thanksgiving opens up. Okay, if you can take on a fourth-place team, maybe like a Mathis or a Corpus Christi London out of District 15, and then see a team like Llano or see a team like San Antonio Cole or Hondo, like avoid another district champion out of there, Thanksgiving is there. Yeah, like it is
Edna
doable.
Graduated real heavy.
Real heavy.
They're going to be down, the two-time regional champs, they're going to be down. I think Llano's got a lot of question marks. The powers, you know, other than Jordanton and Universal City Randolph, I think most everyone else has a lot of questions. So, you know, why not San Diego to make a run?
Yeah, I think San Diego, the path opens up there. But again, it's one of those things where they have to win their district, have to take care of business against Lyford, Rio Hondo, et cetera. If they take care of that business, it sets them up in a bracket that I think is going to be very favorable for them, that then you could look up and say, hey, by the way, the Vaqueros are playing on Thanksgiving. So
sure.
There is our sleeper draft for 2024. Step took Medina Valley, West Mesquite, Athens, and St. Augustine. I took Frankston, Not Franklin. Franklin would not be a sleeper.
No.
They played in four straight state championship games. Fort Worth, Pasco,
for a hipster pick.
Amarillo, and San Diego are my sleepers.
All right.
Yeah. And now, think about this. Like, we made it.
We have.
Because
I could almost, you know, we could almost pretend like this is a season episode. I could tell you where I'm going this week if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Tell me where you're going.
This week, I will be in Houston. Friday, I will be at the Cy Falls SQT Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday, I'll be hanging out with Mike Giles there at Needville.
Cool.
For their SQT. And then I'll be at a SQT every weekend going forward. I think we'll be out at the Grapevine. We'll make our yearly Grapevine SQT.
When is that?
June 7th.
I could probably swing that.
It's a Friday morning.
Seems like a thing I could do.
I mean,
seems like a thing I could do.
We can call it a work trip out of the office.
Absolutely.
I'm covering 7-on-7.
I'm sorry, I've got to go.
Sorry, Adam. Sorry, no, sorry, Brooke. I got to go cover 7-on-7 today. And go eat barbecue afterwards.
So now
tough life.
So now think about this. Like, we really did make it through the offseason.
Yeah.
For 7-on-7. Because June, our June episode.
State 7-on-7 preview.
7-on-7 preview.
Yeah.
July.
Coaching school.
And then August, you're there. Like, we're doing our preview episodes.
Yeah, I have an email drafted up to go over kind of our preview schedule.
Yeah,
we got
our preview schedule. We're gonna get it done. So
first, let's get the magazine put to bed.
God, let's do that first.
Let's get the magazine done.
But look at that. I mean, I'll tell you,
we've made it, folks.
We have. But you know what? Man, realignment helps so much. Oh my God, realignment helps so much.
Oh, realignment makes the offseason
so
much better.
Oh my gosh, it is, because it's like we can do February and March realignment basically.
Yeah,
and then it's like, we can come up with good stuff like sleeper stuff for April and May.
Ranking the alphabet, you know.
Ranking the alphabet, you know. And next year we're gonna.
Next year we'll have a few. Next year February and March will be.
Send us
tougher episodes.
Send us your bit ideas.
Yeah. Now we've made it. Our long national nightmare is over.
It really is. That's gonna do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Steph, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next month for the State 7-on-7 preview on Tep and Step.